And Philip is certainly an evangelist. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth?" And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be at work in us, even as your Spirit was at work in Philip, as your Spirit was at work in this eunuch. Lord, we pray that you would work in us. Open up your word to us. Help us to understand it, Lord, and help us to see how it applies to us. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as I start this morning, I want to tell you about my friend Travis. He is a fellow pastor, and he pastors a church in Pittsburgh. And his church is very, this is just my take, and I say this not in a bad way at all, but his church is very blue collar. His church fits him because Travis, in a way, is very blue collar, even though Travis has more education than I do. But some of you know that 5 years ago, I started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I got so into it that I started telling all my friends that they should start doing it. And Travis and I were talking, and Travis was telling me that how in the 90s, when the whole MMA thing started here in the United States, and in the initial tournaments that they had, those who practiced Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu kept winning it. He was really interested in doing it, and he said, "But I never got a chance. I never knew anybody who did it or anything." And I said, "Well, you should start now." And he had various reasons not to, and his wife was against it for various reasons. But I just kept telling him, "You should try it, you should try it, you should try it." And then we were at General Assembly together, and we were having dinner, and I was sitting right across from his wife. So I took my opportunity to start evangelizing her on why she should allow Travis to start grappling. And by the end of it, she kind of goes, "Okay, he can try. Great." And just to be clear, Brooke is a wonderful, sweet human being. She was just concerned about various things, especially Travis's health. So Travis tried it. Now, Travis took to it like a fish to water. Like, he loved it. Like, I love it, but, like, my love looks like hate compared to his love. He will, we'll talk sometimes and he'll be like, well, I was at the gym for 4 hours today on the mats. And I'm like, you know, he'll go to like two classes and then he'll go roll for 2 hours. And then he'll do something like that at least two more times a week. In fact, now at his school, which is way more intense than my school, like he's on their competition team, he's teaching. He's actually thinking about, for his age group, trying out for the world championship. And I'm just like, no. But great for him, right? So because Travis is so into it now, he was actually on a podcast for BJJ the other day, and they started asking him about his life, and he got to, in the middle of it, share his whole story of how he came to Christ as an 18-year-old. And Travis had lived a pretty rough life before that. Like, Travis will tell you, like, his high school grade point average before he became a believer was like 0.08 or something like that. I mean, it was like just below zero. And he really, before that, didn't even care. He'd been in jail, all this kind of stuff. And anyway, so he got to share the gospel. He got to talk openly about who Jesus was. And then all these guys in his school listened to it. And all these people heard the gospel. And that's pretty cool. Well, we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about this Ethiopian. And in a way, this Ethiopian, who is unnamed, all we know is that he's just known as the Ethiopian eunuch. He's probably more of a Nubian. There was an ancient kingdom of Nubia, which is actually where the Sudan is now. And this is most likely where this man is from, because they're mentioning that he was serving Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, here. And he was a eunuch. Well, what do we know about this guy besides he was from the kingdom of Nubia and that he was a eunuch? Well, we know that when he got to Jerusalem, he would have been kept out of the temple because he was a eunuch. He could have entered into maybe the most outer court, but being a eunuch, he would have been kept out of the temple because A, he was a foreigner, and even more so because he was a eunuch. Deuteronomy 23:1 says that if a man has been emasculated, has emasculated himself or been emasculated, has been made a eunuch, he may not enter the assembly. Here's another thing we know, that he was what we might call a God-fearer or a proselyte. Someone somewhere had told this man from Africa about the God of Israel. They had told him about Yahweh. So much so that he had begun to study the scriptures. In fact, he had something that was really rare. He had his own copy of at least part of the scriptures. And he's been reading them, probably read them on the way to Jerusalem. Now he's reading them on the way back. But when he got there, he got told no. Because he was a eunuch, you can't come into the assembly. You know, Deuteronomy 23, doesn't matter how much you want to join into the assembly, you can't come in. Here's another thing that we can guess at. Why of all the books of the old, what we call the Old Testament, would have been just the scriptures, why Isaiah? Why wasn't he reading Genesis or Deuteronomy or Joshua? We're guessing, I'm guessing, but he owns a copy of Isaiah. He owns a scroll of Isaiah. Isaiah 56, if you were to go read it, says this. It promises that God is going to start blessing foreigners and bringing them into the assembly. And it specifically says he's going to even call eunuchs into the assembly. He's going to call them into the assembly. He's going to bring them in, and he's even going to give them children, descendants. So here's a guy who, someone, we don't know, someone somewhere, maybe a Jewish slave, someone else began to tell him about Yahweh. Now, in the nation of Nubia, they worshiped the sun. In fact, they thought their king was the son of the sun in the sky. But someone's told him about Yahweh. He started studying the scriptures. He's been reading Isaiah. He wants to come and worship in Jerusalem. And he's maybe even hoping that the words of Isaiah 56 are going to be true of him, that he'll be welcomed into the assembly, that somehow he will be given descendants. But he's been turned away. He's been told he can come this far and no farther. So he's on the way home. So here's Philip. Philip's been in Samaria working with those who were seen as the enemies of God's people. As we said last week, these people who were considered like half-breeds, they were, we might say, genetically wrong. They were theologically wrong. They didn't use all the scriptures. Even the scriptures they used were altered. They worshipped in the wrong place. And they have been hearing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have been coming to the kingdom. And now it says, an angel of the Lord says to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Just, that's his instruction. God sends him a messenger. It says, go to this road. And he says, okay. And he goes. Now, this is the middle of nowhere, really. He rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, court official of Candace, queen to the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. By the way, the reason he's a eunuch, the reason he's been emasculated, is that was what people did in the Roman world, in the ancient world. It was a widely spread practice. Babylon, Assyria. If you had a high official, but you wanted to make sure he was never going to try to overthrow you, insist he become a eunuch. That means he can never start a dynasty of his own. So this guy is in charge of the entire treasury of the kingdom of Nubia. He's in charge of all the treasure. He had come to Jerusalem in worship, and returning, he seated in his chariot. We might think somewhat of what we think of like you know, when you see like a European, you know, princess in a Disney movie, you know, and they're in some sort of, he's in something like that. He's riding along, he's bumping along, he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now you may think, how does Philip know what he's reading? Well, in antiquity, especially because people were reading handwritten scrolls, they read out loud. So here's Philip, and again, God comes to him. It says the Spirit, so the Holy Spirit comes to Philip and says, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and hears him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says, do you understand what you are reading? Like, I hear you reading the word. Do you understand it? He says, a lot of humility in this man. How can I, unless someone guides me? So he invites Philip to come and sit with him. And this passage he's reading, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So, an angel of the Lord comes to Philip in Samaria and says, hey, I want you to go down to this road. And, you know, nothing else. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know what. He's obedient to the Lord. And then the Lord comes to him again. The Holy Spirit comes to him and says, go over to that chariot. And again, he's obedient. And then when he gets a chance, he speaks. I just want to point out that even if the Lord doesn't send an angel, or speak to you audibly, we can really do all of these things right now. You can know the word well enough to share the gospel. We can count on the Holy Spirit to put us in the right place at the right time. And we can open our mouths and speak. All of these things are things we can do. Now, I just want to point out in this story, this passage is what we would call Isaiah 53. That's what he's reading. Okay, they didn't have chapters back then. The chapters are an extra biblical thing that from way, way, way later after the Lord Jesus Christ was here and resurrected and went back to heaven. So he's just reading a portion of Isaiah. I have to tell you, in addition to Isaiah 56 specifically giving hope to eunuchs and to foreigners, if someone said, okay, remember, there's no New Testament, right? At this point, nothing, there's not even the first epistle from Paul, there's no Gospels, there's nothing they can turn to except the Old Testament. If someone had said, well, okay, you got to pick one passage of Scripture to share the gospel from, and by Scripture, they mean what we now call the Old Testament, I'm going with Isaiah 53. That's what this, let me read to you what this guy's studying. He's having his quiet time in the chariot, right? Here's all of Isaiah 53. It's only 12 verses. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Okay, if I had a million years, somebody said, okay, you're going to have to share the gospel. You can choose one passage of scripture that person is studying already. What's it going to be? This is it. It's got to be the Old Testament. And I'm not saying there's plenty of places you could go in the Old Testament that point to the Lord Jesus Christ, but none better than this. It gets at basically everything that I would want someone to know. And here, this guy's right, he's bumping along, you know, in his chariot, reading out loud, and he's reading this passage. He's studying this passage thinking, who's this guy talking about? Who is this guy who's suffering so much? Is he talking about himself or someone else? He's already thinking that. And here comes Philip. And Philip's not just there, you know, like, he wasn't just wandering down the road and just, oh, wait, I hear somebody reading. The Lord sent him there. The Lord put him there. And he hears it, and it says, he opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He starts telling him, he's like, actually, the prophet's speaking about a man who was to come. A man who has just come. A man who never sinned, never spoke sin, never lied, never sinned in any way. And yet, he died. He bore the punishment for sinners, for transgressors, for others. He was rejected. And he went through the whole passage. And probably, as it says, he went through all the other scriptures that this man would at least have been familiar with. Things he had studied as he's become convinced to reject the sun god of Nubia. And that he's made his way to Jerusalem, seeking to worship Yahweh, the one true God. So much so that they're just riding along, and he goes, wait, there's some water. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? What prevents me from coming to Christ? What prevents me from joining you? Philip takes the opportunity. He commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. He has entered into the kingdom. So he goes away rejoicing. Now, I just find this whole passage spectacular and beautiful. Commentators, scholars debate why was Philip carried away by the Spirit. This is my take. This is what I think. I mean, this is probably just a few hours of this guy's life. I think God in His grace wants to seal it in that what he has heard from Philip is absolutely from God. So in his grace and mercy, he gives him a miracle. He sees, just like the prophet Elijah, he sees him carried away by this miraculous event that for the rest of his life, he knows, I saw something from God and I heard the message from God. I want us to think for a second what it would have been like. Again, this guy has studied the Jewish religion. He's begun to believe that the God of Israel, God Yahweh, the God of what we would call the Old Testament, that's the one true God. And now he's invested money. He at least, at a minimum, he owns a scroll of Isaiah. You know, individuals did not own copies of the scriptures. He's made his way to the temple. And he's been told no. But on his way home, he's been told yes. He's been told, yeah, Isaiah 56 is true. You are now, through Christ Jesus, through His sacrifice on your behalf, because He credits to you His perfect life, His sinless life, because He took your sin upon Himself, because He died on the cross, because He suffered in your place, and because He rose again. Yes, you are brought into the assembly. You don't have to be in Jerusalem to be there. You can be it right here. And the guy goes, I want to be baptized. Look, we're passing some water. Can we get out right now and me be baptized? And he sees that miracle. And it says he went on his way home joyfully. What a story. And God accomplished so many things in it. First and foremost, you know, up until Saul started persecuting the church, the Bible's clear that they hadn't done anything to obey the orders Jesus had given them. Remember, he said, take my message to Jerusalem. They were doing a great job of that. But he said, take it to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And they weren't doing that until Saul came and began to persecute them. And then they began to go back to the places many of them had come from, and they began to flee to other places. So they go to places like Galilee and Judea. They go to Samaria. And now God arranges that somebody goes to Africa. What church history tells us is that guy went home and started telling people about Jesus. And then Mark, the guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark, later went to North Africa and started telling people about Jesus. So that a church grew up in North Africa. Today, we probably think of the northern parts of Africa, if we think of it religiously, we'd think Muslim. 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, you would have thought Christian. Because God, in his providence, arranged for this to happen. You know, two of the greatest men in the history of the church, at least one of them you've probably heard of, Augustine, the other, Athanasius, were Northern African men. In fact, Athanasius is certainly one of the five, if you've got scripture, the moment you go out of scripture and you say, who are some of the five greatest people in the history of the church? Augustine and Athanasius are on every list, or we don't understand what Christianity is. You know, when Athanasius was fighting against heresy, his enemies called him the Black Dwarf. Because he was Northern African. Because he was different than them. Why was he even a believer? Because God arranged it. I don't even know if the Ethiopian eunuch knew the whole story. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Did Philip say, hey, I'm here because God told me to come meet you here? We know he knows it now in heaven. I can't wait to talk to him and say, what was that like to know that God like sent him miraculously just to you? But I want every one of us to know that your story is no less God's plan. If you're in Christ, that was God's plan. Now, you may say, well, nobody was told miraculously to go to wherever, you know, you were riding along on your bike or something like that. No one was sent miraculously. Okay. But if you were in Christ, you didn't just stumble into it. Everything that happened, even if some of you, I know, and praise God for this. In all seriousness, some of you are like, well, I grew up in a Christian family, and so I've always believed, or pretty much always believed. Yeah, that didn't happen by accident. That was God's hand in your life saying, I am calling this person, put your name in there, to myself. Or maybe you came to faith through a campus ministry, or something like Young Life. Or maybe somebody invited you to a youth group. Or maybe it was later in life. Maybe it was much later in life. And there was this event happened. And maybe you'd say, well, some negative things happened in my life. And I was just looking for answers. What do you think you're thinking if you've invested so much of your life and even your money and you're the Ethiopian eunuch and you go all the way to Jerusalem and they go, no, it's far enough, my guy. Can't come any further. Think about, in all seriousness, just for a second, I want you to think about the shame he would have felt and the rejection he would have felt. And he's searching for answers and he's reading Isaiah on the way home and God goes, let me just put somebody right next to you. But however you came to faith, whoever are the people who shared the gospel with you, whether it was one person, whether it was 10 people, whatever, that's because God loves you. And He put that person, those people, that church, that youth group, that young life group, whatever, your parents, never ever think that's a bad thing. Whoever it was who told you about Jesus, that was God loving and caring for you as much as He cares for this guy. He put you in that situation. He made you ready to hear the word. And you might say, oh, I didn't hear Isaiah 53. Somebody shared something from, one of the Gospels, or one of the Epistles, or like me, somebody was preaching out of Daniel. God knew exactly what you needed to hear and when you needed to hear it, and He got you there. And you can rejoice in that. God loved you so much that He put the right people, the right message, the right events in your life right in the right time to call you to Himself, even if that was just growing up in a Christian family. And I should take out the gist, even if it was growing up in a Christian family, and that's wonderful and it's amazing. Here's my last thing. Again, we don't have to be supernatural. We don't have to do anything extra awesome special. We can know God's word. We can know the gospel. And just like Philip, we can be ready and know that right now, God's putting you in somebody's life. You, in a sense, are already probably walking alongside somebody. And they've got life stuff happening. Whatever their thing is. Maybe it's some other rejection, or some other negative thing, or some other crisis. Maybe their boyfriend just dumped them. I don't know. Maybe their marriage is going to all hell. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. Maybe they just read some book and they're questioning their life. But you're in their life right now. And you can open your mouth. Scripture says Philip opened his mouth. And look, it's not on you. I don't convert people. You don't convert people. The Holy Spirit converts people. But we can speak the truth. You know what I like about that story with Travis? I love Travis to death. He's a wonderful guy. Is like, the way he got on this podcast, I mean, he wrote a bunch of us and he's like, man, that podcast's really taken off. It's kind of weird. Because all these guys that I go to, his jiu-jitsu school with, they're all listening to it. They're all hearing me talk about my life, things they didn't know about me. They're all hearing the gospel. Just pray. There's no way he could have planned that. Right? There's a sense of what that story goes all the way back to the first mixed martial arts tournaments in the 90s. And he started going, oh, that's cool. I'd like to try that. And 30 years later, he gets me in his life going, dude, try it. Dude, try it. Dude, try it. And then his wife is like, no. So I'm across from her, and I love Brooke again. And I'm just like bombarding her with all the reasons he should try it. And that's just one little part of this whole story. And now I really think that in the next few months, there are people who are going to come to faith, and they're going to go, well, I heard Travis sharing his story. And I heard him talking about Jesus. But that's just how it works. And right now, you're a result of those kind of stories, and you're a part of those kind of stories. Because God is in the business of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Ethiopian eunuch. I thank You for all the ways You worked in his life, and that You brought him to this point on this road, and that You sent Philip to him. Lord, and I thank You for every person in this room who has come to faith, and all the ways
that you reached them, whether it was through their parents or their home pastor or youth pastor or their young life leader or their best friend or whatever, Lord. For all the ways you have shaped and molded our lives to bring us to you, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, for the ways you're shaping and molding other people's lives. We can't always see it, but you know what you're doing to call your people into the kingdom. We ask you to make us a part of it. We ask you to give us the boldness and love to open our mouths, Lord, and then to speak your truth. And we leave it in your hands, Lord. Will you call people all across the world into your kingdom, Lord, because it is what we need and it is what will glorify you. So would you do it? We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.